Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. And you can also call in your prayer requests at that same number. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
hypocrites professing to be Christians, lying and gossiping in the church. But I'm here to let you know that it starts with you, because all it takes is the anointing to make a difference. Now listen. There may be times in your life when you don't know what to do. It seems like everything is going wrong, and you don't know how you'll make it through. Took your kindness for weakness and didn't return your favor.
Your heart and with all your soul and mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And second, you should love your neighbor as yourself. You know, you don't have to look far to find your neighbor, because right here in church, someone is hurting. All you have to do is throw your arms around them and open up your heart and let Jesus come in.
Yeah.
Psalms 59 and 10 says, "My God, Elohim, in his loving kindness, chastity, will meet me. God will let me look triumphantly upon my foes." And that's Psalms 59 and 10. Elohim chastity means God of mercy. You know how we are formed. You remember that we are dust. In your loving kindness, you showed us mercy from everlasting to everlasting. Your love is with those who fear you, and your righteousness with their children's children. With those who keep your covenant, Elohim, chastity. You show favor to your people, and you have restored many from captivity. You have forgiven our iniquities and covered all of our sin. In your mercy, you have withdrawn your fury and turned away from your burning anger. Surely your salvation is near to those who fear you, that your glory may dwell in our hearts and in our land. Your kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other, and for that we praise your name. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us and give us your thoughts or comments, please feel free to dial in at 7 p.m. 319-527-6204. To God be the glory.
A plethora of life's enigmas have incapacitated your people. Lord, we cry for the power that comes from being in your presence to resuscitate us so that we may live. Lord, we proclaim you now. Your awesome majesty. Hallelujah. Lord, come upon us now. Yes, Lord. And release your power. We need your power. And let your presence fall. Hallelujah. Come on, voices of Citadel. I need you to harmonize tonight. And let's talk to the Lord. Lord, we proclaim your name. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. presence, Father. There's healing in your presence. There's peace in your presence.
Everybody standing all over the building with your hands raised and your mouth open. Let's cry out to the Lord tonight. Come on. Say, Lord. Will happen. Men and women will be set free. Lord, work on us. Lord, work on us. Lord, work on us tonight. Come on, with your hands raised and your mouth open, let's cry out to the Lord. Say, oh Lord.
Come on.
who he is. We praise him for what he's done. Come on, worship him. He is the God that brought you out. He is the God that delivered your soul. He is the God that gave you another chance.
Amen. Praise be to God. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, Let Me Feel You. Praise be to God. My scripture reading for this devotional message is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 from the New American Standard Bible, and it says, But we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of power will be of God and not from ourselves. Amen. My second scripture reading is coming from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. Praise God. And my third scripture reading is coming from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. And it says, This is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust, it's your strength, but you would have none of it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title says, Let me fill you with my love, joy, and peace. These are glorious gifts flowing from my living presence. Though you are an earthen vessel, I designed you to be filled with heavenly content. Your weakness is not a deterrent to being filled with my spirit. On the contrary, it provides an opportunity for my power to shine forth more brightly. As you go through this day, trust me to provide the strength you need moment by moment. Don't waste energy wondering whether you are adequate for today's journey. My spirit within you is more than sufficient to handle whatever this day may bring. That is the basis for your confidence. In quietness, spending time alone with me, and confident trust, relying on my sufficiency is your strength. I pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. God of mercy, I confess that sometimes I make light of your mercy. Because of your mercy, I have been given second chance after second chance. You have shown me forgiveness and withheld the full consequences that my actions deserve. Forgive me for not acknowledging the power of your mercy, for not remembering what you have spared me from, and for not giving you the full devotion of my heart. Restore me, God of mercy, for you have turned your indignation away from me. Revive me again, that I may rejoice in you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
This is for my sister.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is for my sister. Stay strong.
Yeah.
I pray your strength in Christ. Don't let the game steer you wrong. Sippin' on the same drink, water check the same cheap boys, same kush smoke, same conversation, different stuff, same temptation, same game, same honey, same front, like you got paper. It make you feel big, carrying his gun, tough guy, such a deadbeat to his kids, but he's so fly. 90% of his conversation was all lies. He won't choose for the price of one, you and your sister like wine. So he buy a drink to get you drunk. Now you're rubbing on your sister's side. Every opportunity you get, wish you pass by. Now you both wearing control by another power. It's quiet as it's kept. Every sucker in the club plot with no regret. I used to plot too. I must confess it wasn't right. But that's the price my sister pay. Every night she play.
She plays the streetlight. Cause there's no place she can go.
The streetlight don't come with no proposal. Only believe having what you see. And only 2% of what you hear. Pray your strength will
play. Oh, in the streetlight, will play your life.
I know Jesus in your mouth, but he's far from your heart. No doubt you deceive love from the start. Ever tied your thumb, sipping on your drink, sitting at the bar, 5 drinks a minute. Now you on a dance floor, heavy breathing, bumping and grinding like you want more. Sweating teeth, dropping it low to the floor. This represent everything you stand for. Showing the games you sold, not told. Remember you reap what you sold.
People see just who you wanna be, and every night you shine just like the superstar. The type of life that plays, a tenth
and the ballers don't care for.
Your dress, your walk, your talk, your who you think you are.
She plays a streetlight, cause there's no place she can go. Streetlight, it's the only light she knows. Streetlight, and there's a thousand colors to play.
Oh, in the streetlight, streetlight, where you play your life.
He attacks you tonight. Get you tomorrow. One night stand in the back of the car instead of demanding respect. You let him trick your heart. You surviving on the edge, hoping you find a baller bouncing around from club to car. He only likes you enough when you're getting it up. Your friendship can't be taught. So when he sets you up, remember respect can't be bought. So be the real quick, give me all.
Let the people see
what
just
a real
who you wanna
think
be.
Said.
And every night you shine
what a real sister
just
think
like said. A superstar. The type of life that plays a tense and masquerade. Your dress, your walk, your tone.
The ladies are
your
female,
who you think
but
you
the heart
are.
Is clear. For it's all, remember patience, race, death, all the money, material things, so you can never feel an empty heart. Don't be ashamed to call on Jesus' name. He'll heal your pain, erase your scar. If you go and worship Son, you can remember Jesus gave his life, and he loves you for who you really are. You a temple of God, a queen, so keep your faith up and look towards the star. I'm sending back Christ Jesus to point the way. To safety, to security. Come to world of the living. Come, sister. In Jesus' name.
Until you play your life away.
Jesus loves you.
Come on.
And I love you too.
Come like it. Come on. Come like it.
Come to world of the
mm-hmm. times you're feeling down. When you had enough, no time for messing around. Your money gets funny. Keep holding your head up high. Through the good times and the bad times, you should be thankful just to be alive. A family that prays together, stays together. So let's live forever. Pray together. When I think about it, we come a long, long way. I'm oh so grateful, blessed each and every day. It doesn't matter whether people talk about us. We're moving higher and higher.
Loving kindness. Thank you for granting me salvation, not only for eternity, but also in history. Thank you for speaking peace and mercy to your people, to your godly ones. Thank you for showing me mercy and empowering me to turn away from folly. I'm grateful that your truth and mercy springs from the earth, and that your compassion looks down from heaven. Indeed, God of mercy, you will give what is good for me, and my life will yield its produce. Mercy and peace go before you, preparing a path that I can follow. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
You're listening to Pray One for Another.
pick the way to go. At the fork of the road, living day by day, so life goes. Never sing, never, or come what may. Rising up to a blessing, prayer changes things, trying to make tomorrow better than today, yesterday's rain brings hope of a Sunday. Come what may, for there's a greater power, and on the right hand of the throne he reigns. Prayer changes things, prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Changes things. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Oh.
God of mercy, in your mercy and compassion, you have given me great and powerful promises. You enable me to share your divine nature and escape the world's corruption and the consequences of following my fleshy desires. Your mercy equips me to live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. Through the gift of your mercy, grant me peace of mind and heart so I will not be troubled or afraid. Your gift is from above, and it is not as the world gives. It is everlasting, and it is authentic. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Hi, my name is Evangelist Hilda, and you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-213-5681. And call in your prayer request, for my God is truly able.
While I'm facing, do not disturb. Every Christian needs a good word. I awesome and good. With half a brain, it should be easily understood. It's worth more than silver and gold. Listen close as wisdom unfolds. Fools think they need no advice, but wise men will listen twice. A fool is quick-tempered and cruel, but the wise maintain and stay cool. Truth stands the test of time, while lies get exposed like crime. I'm in the studio promising I'll be a key in changing lifestyle. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm preaching, do not disturb. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. Spoil the child if you spare the rod. Teach your kids to obey God. Discipline kids at an early age, and it'll follow them right to the grave. Be humble and accept correction. Travel the path in the right direction. To work hard being poor means more than a pain and wealth by breaking a law. Wise men avoid a fight, but fools will argue all day and night. Fools don't even think about the facts, cause all they wanna do is attack. Prepare before making moves. If not, then you're bound to lose. It pays to keep a big mouth shut. Some have lost their lives for talking too much. I give what I can to the helpless, plus hope and pray that they all get justice. Work brings profit, talk brings poverty. When I'm on the job, don't bother me. It shouldn't hurt to be criticized. If it's constructive, you'll become wise. Your hang up is life's unfair. Have you ever heard of faith and prayer? You can't always have a good day, or everything going your way. A story sounds good when it's just one side. Listen to them both before you decide. Wounds from a friend of me. Are better than kisses from an enemy. The wicked finally lose, the right to finally win. Trust in the Lord, respect and fear him. Courage secures when you're facing death. Without courage, there's no hope left. When you're generous, they often ask of you. When you're broke, folks are quick to pass you. Be aware of flattery and charm, cause all they mean to do is harm. An enemy who wants to provide for you is only trying to game and bribe you. Before world peace is felt, we have to find peace with self. The solution isn't even a hard one. Peace only comes from God's Son. Counsel and common sense can all be obtained at a small expense, just by keeping hearts and minds wide open, and taking the proverbs that was spoken. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God, cause every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God.
El Shaddai, you are a great and mighty in power. Your understanding and wisdom knows no limits. Your might knows no bounds. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so your ways reach higher than my own. You surround me with the blessings of your provision as you covenant with me through your Son, Jesus Christ, the balancing of the clouds and the wondrous works of the earth are nothing compared to you, who sit enthroned in might and valor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
The heart of Israel takes residence in me, purging iniquities to the image of glory. The heart of a spirit lives eternally, leading me, guiding me, and restoring me. Called to walk in the path of righteousness, chosen to serve the King. Bringing grace to the undeserved, crucified
Amen. Thank God for his mercy. And now it is time for our lesson this evening in basic theology with our very own Barbara Amore. And we're going to welcome her with the hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, ladies. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you doing?
Blessed, thank you.
Amen. Just rushed in here.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Praise God. Can you hear Barbara?
Thank you. Good evening, First Lady.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. Anyone else join the line?
Not yet.
Okay. So I'm going to pray us in. Dear Heavenly Father, once more and again, a few of your humble servants come together to give you praise, glory, and honor. Father God, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggles, keeping us from danger seen and unseen, Father God. We thank you for providing for us, for caring for us, for loving us, for your unconditional love, Father God. We thank you for all that you are and all that you will ever be in our lives. And thank you for making us exactly what you want us to be. Father God, we love you. Can't do anything without you. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. And Lord, continue to keep us and guide us and comfort us and look out for us. Make a way for us, Father God. Bless us and give us favor. We thank you. Thank you. We thank you for everything you've done, everything you're doing, and everything you're going to do in our lives. Bless all the families assembled here. Bless those who are absent and thought about coming on. Bless them and keep them, Father God, and we will be forever grateful. All these blessings, and if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. All these blessings we ask in the matchless name of your son, Jesus. Hallelujah and amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so we're going to continue with our lesson. Bear with me one moment. As I said, I just rushed in here, so.
Ooh, okay.
I am ready to start our lesson, and we know the protocol. We're not going to interrupt anybody. We're going to let people finish their train of thought. We're going to be polite little ladies, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to get back to the facets of man, talking about the different aspects of man. We left off at conscience, and I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to go over some things that I've researched. Okay, part D, page 227, conscience. The conscience is a witness within man that tells him he ought to do what he believes to be right and not to do what he believes to be wrong. Conscience does not teach us what is right or wrong, but prods us to do what we have been taught to be right. One can do what is wrong in good conscience because he has been misinformed as to what is right and wrong. And we see that in Acts 23:1. Before we go to the scripture, can anyone expound on what I just read?
That the conscience does whatever it was taught to be right or wrong.
Right. So if you've been taught the wrong thing, you're going to think that it's all right. Amen?
That's right. Amen.
And so we're going to see that in Acts 23:1, Evangelist Hilda, would you get that, please? Acts 23 and 1.
Okay. 23 and 1 says, gazing intently at the high council, Paul began, "Brothers, I have always lived before God with a clear conscience." Amen.
Amen. So what do you think that's about?
Well, I think he's saying that, you know, since he gave his life to Christ, that's all he thinks about. And whenever he preaches his word, then he doesn't worry about, you know, saying anything that is not of God.
Okay. Lady Nadine, what do you think?
I don't know where he is in his life right now, so I'm just looking to see.
No problem.
But it looks like this is after his change.
After his change?
Yeah, because it's 23, Acts 23. And it looks like this was after his change.
Okay, so right now, the council, and he's basically explaining his behavior and trying to persecute Jews because of their following Jesus Christ. And he's saying that whatever he did it in good conscience. That's the way he was taught. That's what he believed. So he didn't do it intentionally to be doing the wrong thing. He thought he was right. Find out that, no, he was not right. Jesus let him know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Acts 9, Jesus let him know, why are you kicking against me,
right,
Saul? It's not right. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, sorry, I'm not going to go through that right now, but if you want to, at your leisure, you can read Acts 23. And we're going to go into the portion. Conscience appears only in the New Testament. Those functions of conscience are assigned into the heart in the Old Testament, such as 1 Samuel 24 and 5 and Job 27 and 6. Lady Nadine, if you get 24 and 5, not right now, and evangelists get Job 27 and 6, when I'm ready. In the New Testament, conscience occurs most often in Paul's writings. John used the word heart, as in 1 John 3:19 through 21. The unsaved person's conscience may be a good guide, John 8:9, Romans 2 and 15, or it may not be, even though it may seem to guide correctly. And we see that again talking about Saul persecuting the Jews, taking them back to be whatever, chastised, killed, you know, harmed, because he thought he was doing the right thing. But Acts 23 and 1, which was already read, 1 Timothy 4 and 2, Titus 1 and 15, Hebrews 10 and 22. Conscience may be likened to unreliable brakes on an automobile. They may do their job at times, but they cannot be counted on. Talking about the conscience. The Christian's conscience operates to prod him to do what is right in various relationships of life. Number one, it prods him to obey the government under which he lives, Romans 13 and 5. Number two, it tells him to bear up under an unjust employer, 1 Peter 2, 18 through 19. Number three, the conscience of a weaker brother that does not permit him to eat meat sacrificed to idols should be respected by the stronger brother, 1 Corinthians 8, 7, 10, and 12. And finally, number four, conscience may be called to witness to the depth and reality of a spiritual commitment, Romans 9 and 2, 2 Corinthians 1 12:4-2. Any thoughts about that?
No, I think it's good. It's clear. It makes sense.
Okay. So in the Old Testament, conscience was referred to as the heart.
Mm-hmm.
The heart, whatever, you know, you invite Jesus or God at that time into your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And New Testament is referred to as conscience, as we saw in Acts 23:1, where Paul was stating that he did whatever he did in good conscience. His mind,
mm-hmm.
he's at himself because of what he did. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's 1 Samuel 24:5. First Lady, and then Job 27:6, Evangelist, please.
Okay, 24:5 says, and then afterwards, David felt guilty because he had cut the hem of Saul's robe.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so thoughts about that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know the story behind it. I would have to read it, but this is basically saying from his heart, he felt a sense of guilt because he had cut the hem of Saul's robe.
Okay. We remember that David was running for his life from Saul, and he hid out of the gate. And Saul came so close to him that unbeknownst to him, David was there and he cut his robe, which is what you read.
Oh, that he was that close, he could have killed him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's true. Thank you. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. So he did this in good conscience, knowing he could have done it to him, but he chose not to.
Right.
But what, can you read that one more time?
So it says, and then afterwards, David felt guilty because he had cut Hamilton's role.
I don't understand the guilt, though. Why would he feel guilty?
I guess it's because it's like a way of taunting him, taunting Saul. You know, I mean, I think we see the part where he should feel good about himself because he didn't. He could have killed him, but he didn't.
He
restrained himself, but then at the same time, that's just like taunting him, too, right?
But my thought is that Saul even realized that his role had been
done. Well, I know he was there.
Not at that time. Probably when at some point when he got back to his, you know, I mean, just imagine
palace.
He gets back to the king, gets back to his palace, and he sees his robe all cut up, and he's like, that had to hit him, like, wow.
Somebody touched me.
Yes, that's it.
Yes. Okay. So, excellent. Thank you. Now let's look at Job. I'm sorry. If you're not finished, go on.
No, I'm finished. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is Job 27:6.
Okay. I will maintain my innocence without wavering. My conscience is clear for as long as I live. And this is talking about when Job was continuing, but he was like when his being accused because, you know, his conscience was clear because we're not sinless, but with God's forgiveness, then we can become sinless.
So what does this mean when Job says, my heart shall not reproach me so long as I live? What is reproach?
Anger.
Blame,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
His heart is not going to cause him to blame himself for doing wrong, punished by losing all his children and his wealth. And he said, it's not my fault.
I didn't do anything. As long as I live, I'm going to believe that I have done nothing wrong. Amen?
And we know
keep that integrity, which we see in verse 5. God forbid that I should justify you till I die. I will not remove my integrity from me. I'm going to stay steadfast and unmovable. I haven't done anything wrong. My friends can come and tell me, oh, Job, you must have done something wrong. I mean, you try to be this and you try to be that, but, you know, God knows your heart. You did something. And he's saying, no, I will not let go of my, I will not let it go, excuse me. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. My heart is not going to convict me that I did something wrong because I know I haven't. I don't know why all this, you know, evil has befallen me, but I haven't done anything wrong.
Right.
Amen. Right. So we're going to look
and
at...
We know he didn't do anything wrong because God said he didn't do anything wrong.
Right. He was blameless. But he still got, you know, the devil still came and did what he needed to do to take his family away from him, to kill his children, take his livestock, his money, his, you know, his treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's take a look at Paul's writings when we see 1 John 3:19-21, Evangelist. And then we're going to have John 8 and 9 and Romans 2 and 15, Lady Nadine. 1 John 3 and 19 first. 1 John 3, 19 through 21.
First John 3:19
through 21.
Okay. 19. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. Amen.
Any thoughts about that?
Well, it's pretty much self, you know, explanatory. Our actions, you know, will show us that we belong to the truth.
Okay.
So we don't feel, so we don't be confident in our...
We can be confident in what?
When we stand before God.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. John 8, 9, and then Romans 2 and 15. John 8, 9, Romans 2 and 15. Are you there?
Oh, which one am I doing? John 8 and 9?
John 8 and 9.
Okay. Now, when they heard it, being convicted by their conscience, they began to depart one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone. And the woman who was in their midst.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was thinking about the same scripture, like when Jesus says, let the first one who has not sinned throw the first stone, right? Cast the first stone. And they just walked away because they, conscience told them, yeah, you've been doing some wrong things, so back up off.
All right. None of them were worthy to condemn her because they had sin of their own.
Right.
Thank you. And now Romans 2 and 15. Lady Nadine. Romans 2.
I have it. 2:15. Who shows the work You want me to read it for me?
Yes, please.
Okay. Who shows the work of the Lord written on their heart, their conscience being witnesses, and their thoughts one after another accusing or even defending them? So, right, so this is talking about the unsaved person's conscience. So it says, who shows the work of the Lord written on their heart? Their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts one after another accusing or even defending them. So.
Mm-hmm. And if we look at the previous scripture, it talks about the Gentiles who don't
mm-hmm.
have the Mosaic law, but they do the right things just by nature, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They do by nature the things contained in the law. These having mm-hmm. not the law are a law unto themselves. So they don't even know what the word of God says, but because of their very nature, their innate conscience that tells them right from wrong, they do the right thing. And it amounts to being what the Mosaic law is telling the Jews. Amen?
Amen.
Which show the work of the law written in their hearts. So the law is not on a paper. It's not in the Pentateuch or the Torah. It's in their hearts. And they go by that and their thoughts. The meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. So they're good to one another, and they don't even know the law. Amen.
I
so,
about the
mm-hmm.
Gentiles one another.
Pardon me?
I never considered the fact that the Gentiles were good to one another, the ones who didn't know God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that Samaritan, the woman that they were stoning, they were Gentiles.
Were they Gentiles?
No, I don't think they were Gentiles. But let's say the woman at the well, she was a Gentile, and she couldn't.
She was a Samaritan.
She was a Samaritan.
Yeah, which is half Jewish. She was half Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that the fact that her parents or whoever had mingled with foreigners,
mm-hmm.
she was one of the people of the hated race, known as the Samaritans. So she had married, well, she had been with a number of men and
mm-hmm.
I think some, but Jesus asked her about her husband, and she
mm-hmm.
said, I don't have one, something like that. And he said, and yeah, in fact, the one that you're with now is not your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Right, she had five.
Right.
But I guess
took
the husband. Might have been married legally, might not have been, but there were five men. Go on.
But I don't, I'm going to, agree to disagree? Because I don't think that we innately have a good conscience. I don't think that's something that's innate.
Why you say that?
Because the word says that we are all sinners, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all sin. So if we all sin, we're born as sinners. That doesn't make us innately good. It makes us innately bad. So it's only through Christ and through Christ's blood that our
mm-hmm.
sinful selves are washed clean. So we're not innately good people. That is not what the word tells us.
But
so
look at what you just read in Romans 2:15.
But this is, you know what this is? This is like Romans 2:15 is saying, if you read ahead of it, it's actually saying that it's almost like me saying, it's the negative connotation is like that. It's not saying that. It's saying if somebody has these things written in their heart, don't, then would they be accusing? Would they even? I can't explain it. But that's not that. What that scripture is does not mean that we are, that the Gentiles or anybody is innately good, that their conscience is innately a good conscience. We are born sinful. We're born into a sinful world ever since Adam and Eve, and none of us have innately good conscience until we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
So, again, what about the Romans 2 and 15 that you just read? And I went back up to 14 when it talked about the Gentiles, which don't have Jesus, they don't have God, but they know by nature to do the right things. And they are having not the law, a law unto themselves. They govern themselves. They know right from wrong, and they treat each other accordingly, with or without Jesus, with or without God. Okay? Which show the work of the law written in their hearts. So even though they don't have, again, the Mosaic law, they know right from wrong in their heart, and they treat their fellow man right, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. I'm not saying that we are born in sin. Yes, we're born in sin. But sometimes, even before we get to know the law, we know right from wrong. You know right from wrong.
But remember we read earlier that our conscience, the right and wrong that our conscience knows is what has been taught?
Right.
It depends
right.
on what your conscience has been taught.
Right. And
if your conscience is taught that it's okay to steal, then you're going to steal. But we know that's wrong. So what is said in the beginning about conscience is only thing that conscience knows is what it has been taught.
Okay. But you have some people, and I'll go back to children, who may have been taught the wrong thing, and they still know that's not right. I'm not going to do that. Something within them that they had not even been taught, but it's just something within their nature. Innately, they know right from wrong. Okay?
Well, I'm going to leave it there. We just have to agree. I'm going to agree to disagree. I'm going to leave it there because we did this last. Let's just go on.
Can I read the commentary for 12 through 15?
Of what?
Says, in Romans 2, 12 through 15, it
yes.
says that people are condemned not for what they don't know, but for what they do with what they knew. Excuse me. People are condemned not for what they don't know, but for what they do with what they know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know God's written word. And his law will be judged by them. Those who have never seen a Bible still know right from wrong. And they will be judged because they violated those standards and their own conscience dictated. God's law is written within them.
Thank you. So it's innately in a person to know what God wants us to do. And people will say, oh, you know, I saw my whoever doing this, the wrong thing or that, and so I'm going to follow that. But if you really think about it, you have a decision to make in your own life to go right or to go left. You don't have to follow the wrong thing. You may have been taught the wrong thing. Again, getting back to Saul, whose name was changed to Paul. Saul was taught the wrong thing, and he believed in his fervor that he was right until Jesus stopped him and let him know that what he was doing was not right. So he believed what he was doing was the correct thing to do, the proper thing to do, to kill other people because of their following Jesus Christ, and that's not right. Amen. We still have people even today
that don't want us to have the freedom of religion in certain European countries. That's not right, but that's their way of life, their society. You got mm-hmm. underground for Christians. You got to worship, you know, men in somebody's house, and you got to kind of sneak out, and you know what I'm saying? That's not mm-hmm. right, but if you live, that's what you're going to do. Because even though the law says you can't worship the mm-hmm. Lord, some people in their heart know that's not right. That's not right. I need something more in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So we're going to go on with 1 Timothy 4 and 2. Who wants to read that? 1 Timothy 4 and 2. Evangelist, I think.
Okay. 1 Timothy 4 and 2 says, these people are hypocrites and liars, and their conscience are dead. So they're talking mm-hmm. about the false teachers.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hypocrites and liars, they know what mm-hmm. they're telling is not true. And they may say one thing, but they're not living what they're talking about. They want to tell you the right thing to do, but they're not doing it themselves.
Right.
You know, that's, well, I wrote the poem, Who Are You When Nobody, not to pat myself on the back. People will do certain things, they will teach certain things, will look certain ways, but when they get behind closed doors, and some don't even wait, they do what they want to do, and it's contrary to what they're teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they want to follow them. But they're hypocrites. Right. Amen. So let's look at Titus 1 and 15. First Lady,
yeah.
Titus 15 and 1 minute. I'm sorry. Then Evangelist get Hebrews 10 and 22. Thank you. Okay.
To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their minds and conscience are defiled.
What does that mean to you?
That you could be either way. You could be pure. You know, your mind can be pure or your mind can be defiled. And if it's defiled, you know, it could be either pure of all things. When your mind is defiled, you know, you're this is the exact opposite of being pure.
Okay.
But they
then
both,
I'm sorry, go on.
No, I'm finished.
Mm-hmm. Evangelist, what do you think about that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking. What are we talking about? I didn't get to that. I was looking for my scripture.
Okay, listen. Unto the pure, all things are pure. What do you think about this, which is what Lady Nadine just read? Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. What do you think about that?
Well, that means if they're impure, then they don't know the word of God, and they're just wicked. They don't change what their lifestyle. So if you could do wicked things, you're going to continue doing it because you don't have nothing pure inside of you.
Okay. I would look at it like this. To people who are pure,
mm-hmm.
everything is, they see positivity in whatever is transpiring. But to those who are defiled, everything that's going on is something wrong with them. Those are liars. Those are thieves. And it's not a blanket covering for everybody. You can't just mm-hmm. say because so-and-so did the wrong thing that his whole neighborhood is like that. And we see that too. You know, they want to do it. I'm going to say racism. They want to put all people, black boys, men or whatever, in the same category. We, We hear about the times when people are on the elevator, black and white. The woman has a purse. She wants to clutch her purse tighter because this black man is on the elevator and she doesn't know what he's liable to do. So to her, he's defiled. He's evil. He's wicked. He may not even be thinking about her. But she's thinking, I got this, my diamonds in my purses, whatever, money, whatever, wallet, credit, you know what I'm saying.
Yes,
he's thinking this person who's probably innocent has no even thought about her. He's busy trying to get to his next gig or whatever, you know? But she will clutch that purse and it's visible because you can often see when they, when they change.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're around their own kind, they don't necessarily do that.
Right. I mean, you're absolutely right. It's like that negativity. Like you with the police, you know, if it's a black man and a white man, and they'll automatically figure that the black man then did something wrong. Mm-hmm. And it could have been the white, but it's that same, that those thought and mind processes of defilement, negativity, and everything.
Hey,
I know somebody like
that. Huh?
I said I know somebody like that. Not so much in racism, but they could never see good in anything. It's like everything is the alternative motive behind something. Somebody give her something, they probably want something. You
think
know,
about
it's just
that
like,
mind. Mm-hmm. What about their mind? Their mind is defiled.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Their own race or their own gender or whatever. They always thinking something that's less than pure.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Think that they have to, the Bible have you can enter then pure, believing, trusting. Amen. Sometimes you get that thing happening. Look at that whole situation. Anytime you encounter a person of that gender, race, whatever, you know what I'm saying. You blanket that whole situation that comes to you after that with something that's negative, and it's not always true. It's not always so.
Yeah.
Saying
that's
that you don't have. I mean, maybe the black man on the elevator is a thief. We don't know. But for person, the purse, like a white one can come on there and be the real thief. And you have, you know, stuff from the other one. It's just, it is what it is. You know, it is what it is. We have to do better. We have to do better.
Yeah.
John 8:9. That was Titus. I'm sorry. Titus 1:15. Evangelist, you got your scripture now. Hebrews 10:22.
Yes. 10:22 says, let us go right.
You understand? Pay attention to what we're speaking about so you can get something out of it.
I know, but I was distracted for a minute because, you know, my child was into something he had no business being in. So it kind of like, well, you know how that goes. Okay, 10:22 says, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him for our guilty conscience has been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water.
What do you think?
Yeah, so now before we have to go through the priest, now we can, with because of Christ's risen from the dead, and we have salvation through him, we can go to God on our own. Through Jesus, yes.
In fact, as we have to end it, we should end it with in Jesus' name. So we make our petition to God directly. but we saved him. And because he's the one that shed his blood. He's the one that took the sins of the world upon himself for believers.
Yes.
And so we go, because he did it, he paid the price for us.
Yes.
So we acknowledge him when we talk to the Father. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, we are. Amen. Say in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to look at the part of this. I think I read it already. I did. Conscience may be from reliable brakes on an automobile. I read that parts 1 through 4. I read all of that. I need to go through that. Well, they got scripture there, too. I just skipped that one. It prides him to obey the government under which he lives. Romans 13. All right. Do you have that?
Mm-hmm, I have it. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also because of conscience. So, I mean, that's like when Jesus says, give Caesar what it is. You know, you do have responsibility to obey the Lord's rules of the government.
Right. We're in the world, but so we have to abide by the rules. If you don't pay your taxes and they catch on to the fact, you're going to have a problem.
Yeah, it's time.
Problem. Amen. But if you owe them and you don't pay a claim and don't try to make some kind of arrangement, you're going to have. They don't care what your religion is. They don't believe. Yeah, well, you know, you're here. You work. You have to pay.
Right.
You don't work, you have to pay.
Yeah.
You have to be obedient to the authority, and Jesus showed us that in what you just read. He tells him to bear up under an unjust employer. Second Peter 18, Evangelist.
First Peter 2 and 18.
I'm sorry, 1 Peter 2 through 18 tonight. When we finish this, I'm going to read that little research that I did. I'm sorry, 1 Peter 2, 18 through 19.
Okay.
Thanks. You who are slaves must accept the authority of your master with all respect. Do what they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are cruel. For God is pleased with you when you do what you know is right and patiently endure unfair treatment. Master owns you, so whatever they tell you to do, you have to do. All right.
God will deal with them if they treat you unfairly.
Go on.
No, I was going to say not for us to judge our masters.
Okay. Do we still have a master?
No.
Yeah, our employers are our masters. If you work, you got a master, okay? It says unjust employers. I mean, now we get paid for the work that we do, but during slavery, of course, you didn't get paid for it. But this refers to your employer. But I also think, you know, I also, you know, not contradicting this, but, you know, when we look at the civil rights movement and we look at Martin Luther King, you know, we also advocate for what's right, you know, and wrong. That's why when as a union representative, I'm going to tell you, as a union rep, right, and I'm with the union, is if your boss tells you to do something, you know, how I have to tell you is the same. If
you're
your boss
up.
Tells you to do
You're breaking up.
Okay.
No, that's good. That's
What I would say is that if the boss asks you to do it, you do it, and then we can, you know, grieve it. But you got to do it because that's your boss.
Right.
And then we'll take out a grievance against the boss if it's something that's not in your job description.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, yeah, I mean, it is, so that scripture is true. But it doesn't mean that, you know, like Martin Luther King, we knew that the civil rights movement, for us not having the right to vote, not having rights, that was wrong. You know, so God does still want us to fight against what's right and what's wrong, but do it in a peaceful manner. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we didn't take out guns and fight them, and Martin Luther King at least didn't do that. So, yeah.
King Jr., yeah, his daddy was seeing. Okay, so you're right. As you're saying, in employment, we are not to rebel against what the boss is telling us to do. We do it, the protest, but we do it. And then, as you're saying, have a union, because all jobs don't have unions.
True.
But grieve it once that mission is accomplished, and you fight it that way. But you don't just take it upon yourself to say, no, I'm not doing that, because that's insubordination. You're not obeying the
word. Exactly.
Amen.
Yep. So we should get to your... Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. I was trying to finish that section, but as you just noted, I'll stop there at 3 when we're going to look at the scripture. Okay. Conscience. And this is a few pages, so bear with me. Ancient Egyptians, for example, were urged not to transgress against the dictates of the heart. For one must stand in fear of departing from its guidance. Conscience in some belief systems is as the voice of God, and therefore a completely reliable guide of conduct. Among Hindus, it is considered the invisible God who dwells within us. Outside of religion context, philosophers, social scientists, and psychologists have sought to understand conscience in both its individual and universal aspects. Excuse me. The view holds that conscience is an innate, intuitive faculty determining the perception of right and wrong, called intuitionism. Another explanation of conscience was put forth by Sigmund Freud, and we all know who Sigmund Freud was, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to give you Sigmund Freud was an Austrian neurologist and the founder of psychoanalysis, clinical method of evaluating and treating pathologies in the psyche through dialogue between a patient and a psychoanalyst. So we know that when you go and see the psychologist or the psychiatrist, you sit on the couch or lie on the couch and you have a discourse, you know, and basically it's like one-sided. I haven't been there, but my understanding, you basically talk to the psychologist or the psychiatrist and tell him what it is that's, whatever he's asking you. This is caused by that. That's caused by this. I lived as a child, and this is what they did to me. I was abused. And you're sharing that with the psychologist, the psychoanalyst. And they will analyze what it is and hopefully get back to you with the root of your discombobulation. Amen?
Amen?
So according to Freud, the superego is a major element of personality that is formed by the child's incorporation of moral values through parental approval or punishment. The resulting internalized set of prohibitions, condemnations, and inhibitions is that part of the superego known as conscience. And we know about the id, the ego, and the superego. Psyche. In psychology, your psyche is your mind and your deepest feelings and attitudes. In mythology, Psyche is the Greek goddess of the soul. Soul is your personality, the totality of elements forming the mind. Specifically, in Freudian psychoanalytic theory, the id, ego, and superego, including both conscious and unconscious components. And superego is the ethical component of the personality, the ethical component, meaning what?
Deciding what's good and bad.
Right, ethics. So superego, the ethical component of the personality, and provides the moral standards by which the ego operates. The superego's criticisms, prohibitions, and inhibitions form a person's conscience, and its positive aspirations and ideals represent one's idealized self-image or ego ideal. The existence of the superego is observable in how people can view themselves as guilty and bad, shameful and weak, and feel compelled to do certain things. And then I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, which is what Lady Nadine said, that's what guides us. And I just want to say that everybody is not a believer, so everybody doesn't have the Holy Spirit. But as we saw,
When I said Holy Spirit, I was referring to Christians.
Okay, well,
I have the Holy Spirit. I wasn't talking about non-believers.
Okay, well, only in believers is there a Holy Spirit. And I was just going to point out that people that are not believers also know right from wrong. And they know how to do the right thing, too, and they don't have the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity, which is the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and it's all Almighty God. The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit are wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. The Holy Spirit gives us something that reflects in the natural as well as the supernatural. He gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Feelings of the Holy Spirit can be likened to hope, joy, peace in your heart and mind. The Holy Spirit does not indwell the unbeliever, comes only to those who acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. And for homework, I'd like us to read Romans 8. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Read Romans 8 for next week, God willing. Did you all get to read 2 Samuel 17 through 19?
The whole chapter of
17 through 19.
No, I'm talking about Romans.
Yeah, Romans 8. Romans 8.
Okay.
The whole chapter, Romans 8.
I think I read Second Samuel. Yeah.
Romans 8. We read 18 last week, but I was saying let's read the chapter before and 18 and the one after. Okay.
Okay.
So the homework for next week, God willing.
Romans 8,
and I got to refresh.
I got so much homework. You know how much homework I have?
Listen. Read Romans 8, okay? Don't concern yourself about Samuel's. We kind of passed that already. That was just for our own edification to know about Absalom, okay? So don't concern yourself about that unless you just have time, all right? But for next week, I do want us to get into Romans 8.
Okay.
And particularly 8 and 9. So read the entire thing if you have the time. If you can't do it, you can't do it. You know, but
yeah.
Just to enlighten ourselves, give us a little more, you know, foundation. That's why
that's right.
These things are signed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But don't stress yourself out. If you can't do it, hey, it's okay. It's all right. All right, so we're going to close out right now. Lady Nadine, if you would take us out, please.
Dear God, Lord God, you are amazing and magnificent. And Lord God, we just want to thank you, Father. We want to thank you for your word, Lord God. We want to thank you, Lord God, for giving us the fortitude, Lord God, giving us the hunger, Lord God, to learn your word, Lord God, to dig deeper and deeper and deeper into your word, Lord God, so that we can get closer and closer to you, Lord God. We thank you for this hunger, Lord God. And
thank you,
Lord God, for the Father, Lord God, who stimulates that in each and every one of us, Lord God. So we just want to thank you and praise you, Lord God. I pray that we meet up again next week, Lord God, I'm praying that I will read Romans 8, Lord God, because I love that chapter.
Several
times. But I just thank you and praise you for the homework assignment, Lord God, because that is a chapter that we need to, you know, to constantly, Lord God, remind ourselves of what thus says your word in there. And I thank you for Sister Hilda, Lord God. We will continue to pray for the increase, Lord God, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Sister Barbara, what happened to the lady what was the minister?
Yeah, Minister Cope. I spoke with her one day last week, I think it was Saturday, and she was saying she forgot about the goodness of this book, and she was going to come back. But I didn't call her today. She said she would try to come on. Maybe she forgot. I don't know. But she's going through a lot of stuff, I guess. I don't even want to claim
that.
Did
she know she knew your days changed? That you...
Yeah, she used to come on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. She used to come on Tuesday.
But I
used to call her earlier on Tuesday to remind her.
Yeah.
You know? I did let her know, and like I said, she's doing stuff, I guess, and she didn't think about wanting to come on or something. I don't know, but I will remind her again. I didn't get a chance to today. I was quite busy, but
let her know we miss her.
Yes, I will. I'll let her know. Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you all. Thank you for this. And y'all just stay safe. And I'm looking forward to, what is it, Saturday?
What's happening Saturday?
From 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock?
Oh.
There's
something going on that I didn't know about.
Our regular stuff. You know, and this Sunday is Palm Sunday. Can you believe that?
Oh, my goodness.
And the following Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday.
Oh.
Wow.
You know, so it's here.
Wow.
This Monday is
right here.
I mean, guys, look out for the meal. I sent you packages. I sent you Sister Barbara and Hilda communion cups. The little cups with the wine and the
crackers. Oh, bless your life. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll let you know when I get mine. So are you going to do the 7 last words? Do you know the house of the Lord?
I have to talk to Pastor, but I know Compton is doing it. But I don't know. Robert did it once, and it was really good. But I don't know if he's doing it. But I use these... you know, Convent usually has.
So y'all do Zoom or you do in person?
I think it's going to be, it's not going to be in person because
Okay.
They're boiler problem, and they're not really expecting to get back into the church yet, but they're part time. Because that's usually how the service
is. Yeah, I'm doing something at 3 o'clock, so I will be doing that, and then I think my church is having something in the evening. I don't know if I'm going to attend both, but I'm just asking. I mean, of course, if they're having something, I would like to stick my head in, you know?
Of course. Yeah, I know.
But to God be the glory, you know, looking forward to talking to ladies again very soon. And stay safe. Love you.
Break a leg.
Be kind to one another. Break a leg.
I got you. But you know,
thank you, lady.
That's what they always say.
I know. Thank you so much. Love you all and stay safe, okay?
Okay.
Shalom. Okay.
Good night.
God bless.
I love you so much. Wow. Please, thank you, Lord. Don't let that woman break a leg. What's not? It's just a metaphor.